There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a line of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to The Katz Report on the radio. This is John Katzalamidis. I write The Katz Report in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly magazine, and on both of those websites. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, the news magazine that comes out on the Sunday, except when you find it on the Saturday or the Monday. This week, the cover story in The Sunday is all about festivals in Las Vegas, and I wrote that one. But enough about me. Joining me this week is a man who plays Frankie Valli in the stage show The Jersey Boys at Paris, Las Vegas, through September 18th, folks. That's when they sign off. We just learned that this week. He's also got a side project, as we call it, with a very talented man by the name of Chris Lash, who's the music director in Baz at Palazzo coming up this month. Joining us this week is the ever-talented Travis Clower. Thanks for coming back, Travis.
Hey. Thanks for having me, man.
So how's your week?
It's been better. No, it's...
Cryptic question we
open
with.
It's good, man. You know, that's the business, you know? You can't be in something forever and something can't run forever, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Well, let's back this up. We learned late Tuesday night after your performance at Paris that the Jersey Boys had a hard closing date of September 18th established.
That's right.
And this was you walk me through what that night was like and how you learned of this.
Well, we knew we had a company meeting after the show last night. And you know, that's always a kicker when you're like,
a company meeting after a show.
No problem. So but our producer, Sally Campbell Morse, came in from New York, and which was very nice of her to come and give us the news face-to-face, because they very well could have just posted something on the board or sent us an email or something. But it just goes to show you the heart that's in this production, how they wanted to deliver this news to us personally.
Were you on stage last night? Did you perform last night?
No, Graham was on last night.
So Graham Fenton, with whom you toggled that Frankie Valli role, so he performed, but you were called in anyway.
Yeah, it was full company.
Okay.
All departments, all department heads, all personnel.
So this is backstage at the Paris?
We met in the house, actually,
Okay, in the theater.
As to accommodate us all,
Okay, how many people are we talking about effectively?
Man, I don't know. I'd say at least 50 or 60, you know.
And what was the mood like when you walked in?
It's somber, you know. I think we all kind of had an idea what was coming. It's kind of been brewing in the air for a little while, you know. It's been in the back of people's minds. And once we were told about the meeting, we were like, okay, we think we know what's going on, but now we just need to know the time frame we're talking about. And
right.
We got that last night.
And how was it directed to you? What was the phrasing?
It was short and sweet, you know. She said, the good news is that the anticipation is finally over, because we know an exact date when we'll be closing. But Sally's very personable. She's a great producer. She's a great friend. And she was, you know, very heartfelt with her words and just said that it was time for this chapter and Jersey Boys to be over.
You know, and moving around the city like we both do, and you know, we're pretty active in the community. You hear and you notice when shows are looking in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and where I've always felt like Jersey Boys when my Raiders come up is when they've adjusted the show schedule when they've drawn down.
Yeah, we dropped from 8 shows a week to 6 shows a week. Probably, I guess it was 7 or 8 months ago. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
You know, whenever you do that, you're as an actor in a show, you're like, oh, something's going on. Let's see what's going on. And but it's been going for a while. And you know, since we did that, the audience has been pretty good. Obviously, I'm not privy to all the information that producers are privy to, as far as you know, financials and
statistics,
numbers, and all that stuff. So they have a lot more information to make the right call than I do.
Right.
But it's been a ride, man.
It has been. Yeah. You've really become part of this community, and Jersey Boys. Paris has been its second home. And I think that when you guys moved, there was a feeling right at that point that it was going to be very quickly understood if you were going to make it or not. Mm-hmm. And you did make it.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
how you guys
we've been
it?
We've been in Paris, you know, 3.5 years, something like that. And that's a little bit longer than I think a lot of people thought we were going to be around once we, you know, once the word got out that we were moving hotels.
Right.
And rightly so, you know, that's how the city is. But it just is another testament to this show and mm-hmm. the heart that is it and everybody that puts their heart and soul into it.
What are you going to miss most?
I think I'm going to miss most just going in and seeing everybody every night. You know, we're a tight family, and it's going to be tough not seeing those people.
All right, Travis, we're going to take a quick break here and allow Josh Bell, our movie critic. Josh Bell Hates Everything is going to be up next with a couple of quick film reviews, Now You See Me 2 and The Conjuring 2. Let him flay those films, and we'll be back shortly with Travis Clover, so stick around. I know we will.
Viva Las Vegas!
Are you listening, horsemen? When you emerge, and you will, I will be there, waiting. Because mark my words, you will get what's coming to you.
That's Morgan Freeman as vengeful magician Thaddeus Bradley in the thriller sequel Now You See Me 2. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Played by Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Dave Franco, and Lizzie Kaplan, who replaces Isla Fisher, the outlaw stage magicians known as the Four Horsemen are basically just a group of thieves this time around, hired by a sinister rich guy played by Daniel Radcliffe to steal a piece of ultra-powerful technology. The plot is just as convoluted and belabored as the first time, without the added panache of the Four Horsemen stage productions. Instead of showmanship, Now You See Me 2 is driven by endless exposition, over-explaining tricks that aren't very impressive to begin with. I give Now You See Me 2 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the horror sequel The Conjuring 2 from director James Wan.
Does it ever say things just to you that only you can hear? What does it say?
It said it wants to hurt you.
Once again based loosely on one of the actual cases investigated by real-life ghost hunters Ed and Lorraine Warren, played by Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, this sequel features a handful of effective scares spread out over 134 minutes of a fairly dull haunted house story about a working-class London family in 1977 who find themselves terrorized by the ghost of an old man. Juan is very good at creating scary moments, but he has trouble with the follow-through, everything that fits between the scary moments and makes the difference between a brief thrill and a satisfying story. I give The Conjuring 2 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Katz Report on the radio. John Katz-Lamidas here. I'm your host. Sitting across from me this week is the great Travis Clower of Jersey Boys. He plays Frankie Valli. We're just talking with Travis about the imminent demise, or closing, I should say, yeah. Better, of Jersey Boys, a very highly regarded show. Very well reviewed. There's nothing to do with the quality of what's on stage. The show's closing, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. And our producers made that abundantly clear. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely nothing that anybody on stage or off stage in that company could do anything about.
Was the reason given to you for you guys?
We weren't really given a specific reason other than, you know, numbers just aren't adding up, you mm-hmm. know? And when that happens, producers have every right to, you know, pull the business card mm-hmm. and say, you know, it's time to pack up shop. So
yeah, your producers are Dodgers Theatrical. Yeah. I keep going back, Travis, to what Scott Zeiger, when he was running Base Entertainment, said after the closing of Phantom, another great show where the numbers weren't working out. It had lasted 6 years over at the Venetian, and I talked to him the day after it closed, mm-hmm. and his words to me were, first thing he said, he goes, show's closed.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, that's the normal thing, unfortunately, mm-hmm. in this business, is that shows do come and they close. The not so normal thing is to be in one that runs for 8.5 years on the Las Vegas Strip,
mm-hmm.
you know, and speaking for, hopefully I can speak for everyone involved in our company to say how unfortunate, or sorry, how fortunate we are to have been in something like that, and how much we love everything that Las Vegas has given us.
Mm-hmm. You came to the show just after it opened.
I was in the Broadway company for about a year and a half. Okay. I joined them in 2007. And then about 5 months after they opened here in Las Vegas in 2008, I moved out here and joined the show, and we've been out here ever since.
Right. I can't imagine you would have thought you would be living in Las Vegas.
Oh, not after 8 years. Not a clue, man. Not a clue. But it's been a blessing. It's been the best thing it's ever happened in my life, and I wouldn't trade a single second of the last 8 years
for anything.
You got
your family here?
Yeah, my wife's here. We have two kids. That's about the extent of our family, mm-hmm. our, you know, blood family. Yeah, it's been great. We love it.
Now, you have every intention, I know, of staying in Las Vegas and performing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, like I said, man, I love Las Vegas. I think at worst case scenario, if there were such a thing, you know, would mean me doing like what a lot of entertainers do, is having Las Vegas be my hub and, you know, going out to auditions or going out of mm-hmm. the city for a job and coming back. But, you know, that's, again, the nature of show business. That's what you do.
Yeah.
That's going to the office.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it is your work. We forget that.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, Travis, when you've come in here to talk about some of your side projects. You really do pay acute attention and take a great deal of pride in what you do away from your stage show. We've always seen that at Cabaret Jazz.
I do. You know, besides everything that we do at Jersey Boys, I'm very passionate about my art and singing and performing and writing, and I've tried to bring that into every project that I'm attached to.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And we were talking about you coming into the South Point Hotel Casino.
Yeah, I'm excited.
An interesting move here by Travis. He's going to be with Chris Lash, and this is in July. Tell us about what we're going to see in a place called the Grandview Lounge, which not many people are probably familiar with, but it's a cool little hang over there.
It's a cool place, man. And it's been around for a while, the Grandview Lounge. And Michael Libinati, the entertainment director over at South Point, has recently sunk a lot of money into the place to update the lighting, to update the sound, and make it a great little venue for entertainers to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me and asked me if I'd like to be a part of, you know, this kind of inaugural season of it all, and I jumped right on board, man. It's mm-hmm. it's going to be a blast.
So what are we going to see? What is this going to be like?
My buddy Chris Lash and I have been trying to think of, you know, something to do for a while now, and I wanted to do something a little different. I'm big into, you know, of course, jazz and doo-wop and that kind of stuff, but I just didn't want to do something straight up forward like that. So the show, the show is called With a Twist.
Mm-hmm.
And I approached Chris Lash about this idea of taking songs from a bunch of different genres, and not necessarily jazz or doo-wop or anything like that, but turning them kind of into those style of songs, or reimagining songs and putting them into a different genre than mm-hmm. what they were originally recorded in.
Okay.
So Chris Lash, being the amazing musical arranger that he is, and a good friend as well, he's just – it's so great to be able to go to someone with these ideas, you know, these melodies in my head, and say, okay, I hear this song with this melody, with this kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be like, oh, yeah, okay. And he'll just start playing the piano, and we just gelled on some stuff. And it's been a lot of fun and very rewarding artistically as
right.
well.
I can tell you, when I first saw Chris was at the Composer Showcase way at the beginning. In fact, I think he played the first night that ever was staged, or really early.
Yeah.
And how did you get connected with him?
Where did
you
find I him? Originally met him at the Composer Showcase as well.
Yeah, he's there almost every show.
Yeah, and he's just, you know, we've been at social functions. We've been at various charity shows and that kind of stuff. I've just seen him around town, and we just hooked up and hit it off, and now we're hitting it off creatively and musically as well. So it's a lot of fun.
It's interesting to talk about that process. I feel it. You know, because I've seen you guys together a little bit at the showcase.
Yeah.
Give me an example of a song in that process you were talking about, Travis.
We took I'll give you a couple. One of my favorite songs from the 80s was Hold Me Now by the Thompson Twins.
Right. I get why.
Yeah, your vocal seriously. Range. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very synth heavy, those 80s tunes.
Uh-huh.
But the other day, not the other day, it was probably a couple months ago now, I was listening to it and something in the lyrics caught my ear. So I brought up the lyrics online and was just reading them without the music playing. And the lyrics are heartbreaking. So we took this song that's very 80s synth pop and turned it into a piano vocal tune that is reminiscent of a John Legend or Adele kind of ballad.
Okay.
And
slowed it down a little bit?
Yeah, I've slowed it down, put a lot of heart into it and really focusing on getting the lyrics out that I think that, at least to me, the lyrics kind of got lost when I was growing up listening to these songs.
I think you're right. You know what I mean? I'm thinking that same thing
right now.
Just
because you get involved with the production of the music from the 80s, and it's that kind of took a little more precedent than
the
lyrics.
That's a sing-along refrain.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's the whole kind of
but go back now and look at those
I'll
lyrics,
I'll have to do
man.
That
they're,
now that you said.
They're heartbreaking. Yeah. Hold me now, warm my heart, stay with me, let loving start.
Yeah.
It's pretty deep.
Yeah,
so we got that one.
Buried under a synthesizer.
Exactly. And then I'm a big Sam Cooke fan. And so is another hero of mine, Steve Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead singer of Journey.
Yes.
And so we took a Sam Cooke tune called Nothing's Gonna Change His Love, which is a killer tune. And doing some research, I found that Steve Perry wrote Journey's hit Lovin', Touchin', Squeezin' based on that song.
Oh, wow.
So we took Lovin', Touchin', Squeezin' and turned it into a Sam Cooke song.
Right, right.
So it's got Sam Cooke's vibe.
There's a lot of this happening, and I know you're aware of this, Travis, of artists and singers especially going through contemporary classics, let's just say, and reimagining them.
Yeah.
It seems to be, I don't know if that's, that seems to be more of that going on in Las Vegas now than ever before.
Yeah, there is. And I think that, you know, one of the main reasons is because people are, you know, they go back through all these songs that meant so much to them growing up as, you know, as kids or singers or and entertainers. And you just want to relive those songs, but you want to put a little bit of yourself into it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what better way to do that than rearrange it?
And it affords you the chance to put your originality in play.
Exactly, yeah.
And without having to try and market in this city an entirely original show.
Yeah,
right.
Completely.
That has to play into this, right?
Oh, absolutely it does. It absolutely does. There's a lot of competition out there, as we all know, and so every little bit helps.
Right. Yeah. And I'm wondering about what your end game is here with Chris. I mean, he's in a show.
He is in a show.
And Baz and
I think that's remaining to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think even though we are in a show, or he's in a show and I've been in a show, I think we can still find some time to do a lot of work. I know that we have because he's been in rehearsal for Baz for the last month.
Right.
And we're still getting a lot accomplished, he and I together. What is in store for that down the road, we'll have to wait and see. You know, I hope a lot. I would love to keep something like this going for a while.
Is Chris going to be your exclusive partner from here forward in these shows? Are you, as I know you've worked with others.
I would like that. I would like that very much. Chris was the first person that I thought of when this idea came to me. He's the first guy that I approached about it, and I would love to continue working with him. So.
And I'm another facet of this whole thing is, you know, the Jersey Boys climate has changed outside of your control, but I've seen others who have left shows and have tried to go at it on their own with very mixed results here in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And I'm specifically remembering one of your former cast members, Rick Fanio, tried to go off and do some shows in Las Vegas and was very, I know Rick was very frustrated in the ability to take hold in this city. And left here with, you know, kind of a, you know, I just don't think he was very happy with how the whole thing played out. Do you look at a situation like Rick's or anybody else's for that matter and learn from that and couch that when you're going off in your own solo career?
Yeah, I think you try to look at it and see maybe why things might not have worked and grow from that. But as far as moving forward with what I want to do or what any artist would want to do, I think the main thing is to stay true to what you see in your head and what you feel in your heart about what you want to do for you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And let that be your guide and your North Star and follow that, as opposed to saying, oh my God, well, that didn't work out for them. I hope I work out. You know, mm-hmm. once you start having that fear and that doubt in your head, that comes out 1,000% when you step on stage.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, if you don't believe it yourself,
yeah,
you're sunk,
absolutely.
Right?
We've both seen people step on stage that lack the confidence and the faith in themselves. And mm-hmm. it is so incredibly obvious when that happens.
You know, we've had a shift not only in the Jersey Boys climate, but right on top of that was the announcement of Clint Holmes moving from Cabaret Jazz to his own show mm-hmm. over at the old Frank the Man Music Theater, the Palazzo Theater mm-hmm. at Venetian. And I was thinking about this when we were prepping for this show. There's an opening there at Cabaret Jazz. We've got there are two kind of significant headliners have both recently left. Frankie
right.
Marino doing his Under the Influence yeah. show at Planet Hollywood. Now Clint isn't going to be doing mm-hmm. his monthly shows. Is that on your radar? Have you strategized about how you can maybe get a toehold in a place like that? You've had great shows in there. You've had a great
yeah,
deal of success.
You know,
I've
had a great relationship with the Smith Center. I've done I guess three Christmas shows there now mm-hmm. and one other show that wasn't a Christmas show. And, you know, we sold the place out every time. That would be great if something like that came my way. I would absolutely not say no to that. Does that make any sense?
There's no...
Myron, if you're listening.
two double negatives make a positive, is that it? We were just there this week. I mean, we spent a lot of time at Cabaret Jazz anyway, but there is that opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, this all could conceivably lead to...
It absolutely could.
All
you
these
know,
happenings.
Like you mentioned Frankie Marino, you know, you see the different spots that he's hit all over mm-hmm. town that have led him, you know, downtown and Cabaret Jazz and into this theater and now this theater and Clint as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that I think, as long as you're open to grow and adapt as an entertainer and a performer and an artist in this city, the more you stay open to that, I think the more possibilities and opportunities are going to present themselves for you. Right. And that's what I'm going to try to do.
You know, I was looking at and following your career, even away from what has happened with Jersey Boys. It's always a finite period of time when you're in a show like Jersey Boys.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
You have to have been mentally preparing for this for quite a while.
We absolutely.
Right?
My wife and I have been talking about this for at least 2 years.
You can't be Apple
at
Chief
least.
Frankie forever.
No,
right?
Man. I mean, I spend the good part of the first act, you know, when Frankie's in his teens and early 20s, I try to face upstage as much as I can so people can believe that I'm that age now.
And raise your speaking voice a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's true. What is your opinion? I don't know if they even got into this when you guys were talking about the Jersey Boys and the closing date. Is there any sense of what will happen next after Jersey Boys in that theater? Because I'm not seeing myself.
They told
plan B.
They told us that right now there's nothing scheduled to go in there.
Right.
So what? That was last night. Whether this morning something is, I don't know.
No, I feel like that's the case.
Yeah.
And what is your opinion of, you've been around the city for a while as a consumer of entertainment mm-hmm. also. Is the city, is the city up to the high standards of entertainment? Do you think it deserves its title of entertainment capital of the world and all that?
You know,
you've been in the industry.
I'm not super crazy about the club scene. You know, I think I'm nothing to take away from, you know, the DJs and everything, because I know that there is an enormous amount of skill that's involved with what they do. But as far as that being my cup of tea, as far as entertainment goes, it's not, you know. I much prefer to sit down and listen to a live band or a singer and have that connection with somebody as far as being entertained through music and, mm-hmm. and song and that kind of thing. And that's what I liked most about Jersey Boys, because we were able to do that with the way that we broke the fourth wall and just sit and talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and you had
and
great musicians.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, and a great
exactly.
MD, Keith Thompson.
Yeah,
well,
totally.
I mean, that's where it's that show it starts.
So
there.
It's a shame that, you know, that's era, I think, is kind of coming to a close, you know, but that's the nature of Las Vegas. It is ever, ever evolving, and, you know, you got to change with it.
You know, I was having a conversation, oddly enough, with Penn Jillette, the magician, and we were talking about EDM, because I'm not a huge EDM guy either.
Yeah.
I'm more from where you come from, but
you know, you kind of, you ward against it because you don't want to be that guy that says, "Damn, you kids, stop with that noise." Because I remember.
Turn that racket
down.
Yeah,
you and the
put away those glow sticks.
It's like what they said about the Beatles when they showed up. It's like, "Oh, this electronic noise, that's not music. Go play Mantovani."
I know. But, that's why I just say it's not my thing. I get it. If someone wants to get down on it, that's totally cool, bitch. It's just not for me.
Is there a possibility in the growth as an artist to invoke some of the qualities of the EDM, the kind of, I was, another interview I had was with Billy Idol, who was talking about bringing in those electronic mm-hmm. sounds because you have so much range and so much possibility with sounds into traditional rock and
roll.
Have you would you ever consider something like that in your stage show?
I absolutely would. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, if you're not willing to grow and try new things, then you're kind of, you know, shooting yourself in the foot. So, you know, as I say, that's not necessarily my thing right now. That doesn't mean that, you know, I'm always open to try new things and make things exciting and fresh. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Well, there's a lot of attitude in Las Vegas too about how to use these venues that these clubs are in. Also, mm-hmm. you know, because at some point it's just like anything else. It's gonna that. Will crest the DJ, the major DJs. We've got these gigantic facilities.
Yeah.
And people like you could become more.
Look out. Who
have some versatility can go in there, you know?
Yeah.
Have you been in Jewel yet?
I haven't,
new place?
No.
It's got an interesting setup. It could work for, you know, a small act for a period of time.
I know that old Mark Chinook over at Intrigue was kind of throwing that idea around as well.
Right.
Making a live performance space.
Which, by the way, has not really worked out.
That's what I hear.
You know, I mean, that's another barometer thing.
Yeah.
And Mark is, you know, he's fighting a good fight, but, you know, you're dealing with a concept that is foreign mm-hmm. to that culture.
Yeah.
And that's another lesson to be learned.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Any recording plans, anything like that, with Chris or elsewhere?
We're gonna lay down some of these songs that we're doing in the show, you know, and just throw them out there and put them in the ether and see where they take us. You know?
Okay. Well, we've got July 25th booked. What time of night? What?
7:30, July 25th.
And anything after that?
Not at the moment.
So we have to sell that one out.
We have to sell that one out. But we booked that before Jersey Boys gave us the announcement. So, we're looking to play somewhere.
You're hot now. You're in conversation, Travis Clore, for reasons outside of your own promotion. All right, TC. Well, we got to wrap it up here, but thanks for coming down.
Thanks
I know it's been
me.
A tough week. It's always a pleasure to see you, talk to you, and watch what you do. And we're going to be look for a Cats Report column about Travis shortly. And we'll see you July 25th.
Sounds good, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.